Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for the first hour. This is a special weekend edition because, well, it's Super Bowl weekend and I'm a 49ers fan, so pretty big weekend for me. Don't be expecting too many responses to emails on Sunday, but I will be back at it on Monday. I will be throughout this show talking about a lot of resource companies, or a lot of resources in general, especially the precious metals, and an important update from Great Bear Resources at the end of the show. To kick off the show, though, I am chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, the first thing that we're going to talk about here is the treasury market. Bonds have gotten a pretty substantial buy throughout this month to kick off the year. The 10-year entered the year almost at 2% and is down now, closing in on breaking below 1.5%. The argument can be that, you know, this is a fear trade because of the Black Swan events from this month, but I think there's a lot more going on here. First and foremost, break down what you think is important to note regarding the bond market and yields that are falling quite quickly.
Yeah, what a move, huh? In the last 2 weeks, we're down about almost 29, 30 basis points on the 10-year yield. And the 30-year bond yield in the U.S., we dipped below 2% for the first time in several months. And 2% is just an incredible level because that's also the Fed's inflation target. And so if you assume the Fed's going to reach its inflation target on average over the next 30 years, and that puts the real rate on the 30-year below zero, this is a credible move. I suspect that we've gone a bit too far here. I've been bullish on bonds, even though a lot of people thought we'd head higher in yields. And I was looking for this correction in the stock market, as we've had, I think. But it's still quite violent. I think the market's happened too quickly, and I would be surprised. China returns early next week, and once we get their markets come back and we check on how that their new coronavirus is doing, I think that the markets could stabilize. And that is to say, the market seems to me to be pricing in the worst developments. And as the developments actually transpire, I think we could see a reversal of some of these dramatic moves.
So, Mark, if you think the markets are pricing in the worst of what could come out of China next week when those markets reopen, let's break down what you think the possibility is to see, A, the market reaction out of China, also the implications of what it means that the markets have been closed so long, and, well, the only insights we have is what's been going on with that offshore yuan, which has fallen a fair bit during this whole coronavirus scare. Please take us through some of the nuances and important factors that you're paying attention to.
Yeah, sure. So we do know a few things. You're right. You know, the Chinese market, the mainland market, closed on January 23rd. And since then, we know how different markets have reacted. So, for example, the Asia-Pacific, the MSCI Asia-Pacific Index, down about 3.5%. But some of the markets close to China, like Hong Kong and Taiwan, were down about 5%. In the past 2 weeks, the U.S. is only down, about 3.2%. Kind of ironic because this past week alone, that's what European markets were down. China has been successful in developing an offshore market for its currency. That offshore RMB lost about 1%, a little bit less than 1%. So if the onshore yuan opens up, it's possible that that would put the dollar close to that 7.0 level. Remember when we went above there back in August last year, the U.S. accused China of manipulating their currency. This time, it's a bit different. Also, looking at this 10-year bond yield, it's trading right around 3%, down about 20 basis points in the past month or so before they close for the holidays. So we should expect lower yields in China as well. Growth, the early estimates suggest that maybe growth goes from 6% to about 4.5%. Now, the trick, though, I think, is that even though China officially reopens on Sunday, the 2nd, that many of the states, many provinces, about 12 or 14 provinces will remain closed, including a couple of large cities. And so what this means then, those places that are still going to be closed are going to, they account for about two-thirds of the GDP and about three-quarters of the China's exports. The very important point is to say, even though China is going to reopen, the disruption to the supply chains and the economic impact will still be on the downside. That is, the supply chains will still be disrupted. I think you got a company like Starbucks closing down about half of their branches in China, and it's going to be extended. The close is going to be extended longer than the official dates. So, supply chain disruption. So, bottom line here is a headwind to the global economy. Looks like it's going to be more serious than previously anticipated, and more serious than, say, the last coronavirus like SARS.
So then, Mark, what about the moves into these safe haven assets? If you think that the broad markets are already pricing in almost the worst case scenario, do you think that means that these safe havens have run too much in this short term rally?
Well, I think that partly what happened is that going into this crisis, this coronavirus crisis, if you will, that the market was leaning very heavily the opposite way. Long equities, long risk, long emerging markets, short fixed income. You know, many people are getting more bearish on yields. People are talking about like European yields. Like, for example, the German Bund felt the yield rose to minus 20 basis points. And people are talking about it going above zero. And instead, we're at minus 40 basis points now. So I think that what makes this dramatic move is not just the unexpectedness of the coronavirus. But I wouldn't want to call it a black swan, because this is the third virus of this kind we've had since 2003. So 15 years, one every 5 years almost on average, it seems. So I don't think it's a black swan, but I think that what makes the dramatic response is that the market was just positioned wrong for it. So risk had to come off. And you know, a lot of the equity markets, we had talked about this before, a lot of this seemed to be exaggerated to the upside. Equities were too high valuation-wise. They needed some kind of pullback, and this is really just a trigger for it. So I think both the virus unexpected, but market leaning the wrong way, makes both of these things together, makes this Molotov cocktail, if you will.
Which is what some people are at least pointing to, why these markets are finally pulling back, because a lot of people were expecting the markets to pull back. Let's also address central banks over the last couple weeks. This week we had the Fed that didn't really surprise anybody with any comments, but I think there were some takeaways where they again are reiterating that they're okay with seeing inflation go over 2%. They're saying that's not a ceiling for what they would like to see. And they're also saying that it sounds like this balance sheet expansion, while they may tone down some of their actions in the repo market and potentially end them by April, they're not going to start unwinding that balance sheet again. What was your takeaway from some of the central bank news this week?
Yes, I think that what happened really is that the major central banks are really out of the equation. That is, we shouldn't expect a change in the next month or two. And the important thing to keep in mind as you think about what's going to happen in February is that none of the major central banks meet. The ECB doesn't meet till March. The Fed doesn't meet till March. Bank of England, Bank of Japan don't meet till March. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. Next week, we have one of them is the Reserve Bank of Australia. But after the unemployment rate fell for 2 months in a row, slightly firmer than expected CPI, they're not expected to do anything either. And what this means with the central banks standing pat on current policy positions is that next week's PMIs won't really matter so much, because before the central banks meet again, we're going to get a new batch of PMI data. So I think that the effect of one of the effects of the central banks is that they're taken out of the equation. That is, we shouldn't expect any change in any of the major central banks in the next month or two. And that is to say, February, no central banks are meeting, so March and April. And then maybe by Q2, we'll begin getting getting the central banks back into focus. But this will take some of the sting away from the economic data.
Okay. Now, how about some other impacts or other news events coming next week, besides just the China markets being open?
Yes. Yeah, so in the U.S., we have a couple of political events, the Iowa caucus. the predictit.org website is showing that Bernie Sanders continues to lead there, as well as the next primary in New Hampshire. I don't think it's going to have much of a market impact, because it is as expected, but also that I think people, there's no doubt that it's still a relatively fluid situation on the Democratic side. And most of the economic models and the websites like predictit.org are really consistently predicting that Trump will be reelected. So what happens on the Democrat side, probably more noise and sort of more inside baseball type of story than a real market mover. The following day, we get the State of the Union by President Trump, and that's going to be, it's usually just another thing more to domestic audience, of course. What's going to be important about this one is that ahead of the November election, the White House and the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin have been promising to unveil middle-class tax cuts. And so we could be seeing this play out, be expressed, formally unveiled in the State of the Union address early next week. But probably the most important of the economic data that comes out next week will be the U.S. jobs data. And this is one of those cyclical indicators for me that we peaked the 12-month moving average, used to smooth out some of the, you know, the noise of fluctuations. That peaked in 2016. So I think that we should be, gradually, but surely, the job growth in the U.S. is slowing. I think we'll get another subdued report, call it the mid-150s, 150,000 or so non-farm payrolls. We'll have earnings. We've had several states, not quite half of the states, raise minimum wage, and that should help put earnings year-over-year rate back above 3%, with a dip below at the end of last year. So the employment data in the U.S., Canada also reports employment data. Canada's employment data has been all over the board, even though they created about 50% more jobs in 2019 than 2018. The number of full-time positions didn't really change. It's a volatile series. And I think that as long as it's not a very strong number, I think that they'll keep people like myself thinking that the Bank of Canada will have to cut rates somewhere in Q2.
Okay, so now just taking this all into context for your general strategy or thoughts on these markets, what do you think? U.S. equity markets, do you think this downtrend continues? Do you think safe havens continue to get a buy? Or on the flip side, do you think this is all maybe run its course and we go back into these ranges that all of these markets had been trading in? I guess except for the U.S. market that just kept on heading higher and higher almost every day.
Yeah, I thought I had a pretty good guess as where we had stopped this week. It was almost the 38.2% retracement of the rally, the leg up since early December. But we're going to finish probably below there in the U.S., trading heavily. So I do think that the market's going to get overshoot on this side. And that's what I want to do. I just want to see some sign. Maybe it'd be like a one-day reversal pattern where the S&P 500 makes a new low and then closes near its high, like it did on the WHO, the World Health Organization's announcement. It looked like that was on Thursday, and the stock market had a nice recovery, but there wasn't any follow-through. So I think that's what we want, some kind of reversal pattern with a little bit of follow-through to indicate that a low is indeed in place. But I think, broadly speaking, I'd be looking at the currency markets, the Canadian dollar and the Mexican peso, who have been beaten up a little bit in the past week or two. And I think that those currencies, not so much that the fundamentals and USMCA and the high interest rates in Mexico will prevent a sell-off. It's more that this will help lay the grounds for a quick recovery. I think the same thing in the Canadian dollar. The fundamentals generally still seem okay. Currency really got hit hard. And I think that both currencies, Mexican peso and the Canadian dollar, bounce back on the first sign of relief from this anxiety. And that means that the currencies like the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc would suffer as soon as we get some sign that we're past the worst.
All right, Mark, it's always great having you on the show, especially at the end of the week. I find it interesting to recap what happened this week and then look ahead to some of the news events that could drive markets in next week and even throughout in the next couple weeks. Mark, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Good luck, everybody. Go Chiefs.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.